Join me, if you will, in the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah is the next to last book of the Old Testament. If you see Haggai, turn right. If you see Malachi, go left. If you're Matthew, go a little further left. But we are now beginning a new series in the book of Zechariah. And so hear the word of the Lord, the inspired and errant word of the holy and living God. In the eighth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out, thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my word and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so he has dealt with us." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now we turn our attention from the book of Matthew, which we spent a little bit over the last year in, moving to the minor prophet Zechariah. Zechariah is called a minor prophet, not because his message was unimportant. It's just simply because he had lesser to say than those like Isaiah or Ezekiel or Daniel. It's just a mere volume thing. Do not think him minor in any way. But I think it's right and good that we come to Zechariah here at this time, just after we finish the book of Matthew. Because in the book of Matthew, we heard time and time again, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the kingdom of heaven is near. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ said that repeatedly throughout the book of Matthew. Our Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry with a simple statement, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, we will find here in these 14 chapters of Zechariah that his message is very much the same. His message of repentance and the prophesying of the coming kingdom is very much in line with that, of course, that our Lord Jesus Christ preached. Look with me at verse 3. The Lord God is telling Zechariah to say to the people, "Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts." Now please know that Lord of hosts is a militaristic type term. This is the God of a militaristic type way that comes in and overpowers and takes a people. And so that Lord of hosts is that militaristic kind of fashion. Says the Lord of hosts, "and I will return to you." He says, "return to me," says the Lord of hosts, "and I will return to you." Return to me and I will return to you. This means to repent. The same phrase that Jesus Christ meant. Change your ways. Return to me. And the Lord God here says, "I will return to you." And then just as Jesus Christ preached the coming kingdom of God, Zechariah here will be preaching of the coming kingdom of God, and that we should make preparations for it. The Israelites should make preparations for it. Now, just briefly, a little bit of housekeeping. Let's set the time of the writing of the book of Zechariah. Because of the years of previous disobedience by the Israelites, God finally punished the Israelites by allowing them to be taken captive by the Babylonian army. They were taken into captivity in Babylon. The temple and most of Jerusalem was destroyed in the mid-400s, late-400s. Then after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, King Darius was moved by God to allow the Israelites to begin moving back to Jerusalem. God issued a decree through King Darius that they should go back to Jerusalem and begin rebuilding the walls, begin rebuilding the city, and more prominently to begin rebuilding the temple. Because the Babylonian army, 70 some odd years earlier, had completely destroyed it. And so they were given leeway by the land that first overtook them through God's moving to go back to their land and rebuild the temple. 20 years after that initial moving back to Jerusalem, we find the ministry of Zechariah. But as prophets are sent to remedy, there was a problem. Zechariah was sent to God to address the issue of the problem. You see, the foundation of the temple was laid immediately upon their return to Jerusalem, but the work didn't continue. It fell into neglect. It was either neglected totally by the people or because of the warring armies that would come in and try to take over a very influential people, a very weak people at that time. And so there was much trial in rebuilding the temple. But it wasn't so much the enemies that held up the rebuilding of the temple. As we will learn here from the prophet Zechariah, the people were more guilty of ingratitude towards God. They had grown lazy. They had grown more concerned about their own welfare than for the welfare of God's ministry, of God's belongings, of God's work. They had no concern for the rebuilding of the temple. Now please remember what the temple was to the Israelites. It was the definition of their lives. It was their reason for being. The temple was the place where they went to meet with God. And so here they've been given the grace by King Darius to go back and rebuild the temple. And here they're going, it just ain't that big a deal. They became very slothful and lazy. As I've said, filled with ingratitude. The book of Haggai, which is previous here to the book of Zechariah, written only a few years before Zechariah, had the same argument against the people. You've grown lazy. You've grown apathetic. You just don't care about what God has desired you to do. And folks, I believe this is why we've been brought to the book of Zechariah now. If you look at the church today, capital C, the church universal today, much like the Israelites of this period, we have grown more concerned of our personal interests than we have the ministry of God. We are more concerned with our own personal lives, the chores of everyday life that distract and pull us away, than we are the ministry that God has called us to do. And as I said, I'm talking very large scale, but I don't necessarily have to get out of this room either. Just like the Israelites of being slothful, lazy, filled with ingratitude, is it too far to say that we're guilty ourselves? Or is that too hard to say? Now, it's true, we're not building a temple in Jerusalem. So, Pastor Tim, how can you say it's not alike? We're not building a temple in Jerusalem. We're not. But are we not building temples just the same? Peter writes in his first book, he says to the church, he's talking to the church, Peter's talking to the church, and he says this, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as spiritual houses to a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." He used the phrase, you are being built up as a spiritual house. Is that not what the temple was? Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have been given from God?" So we are building temples. Just like the Israelites who have been given a decree, a command by God, through the grace of King Darius to go and rebuild the temple, hasn't every one of us in this room been given the same command by God? Build that temple. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are building temples. But I must ask the question, and I think I know the answer. Are we slothful and lazy about our work building the temple? Are we too preoccupied, like the Israelites, with our own house, with our own home, with our own toys, with our own kids' activities. I've said many times, the church suffers greatly. When the list of priorities are given for work in the church always loses. Preacher, I can't come to the meeting. The kid has a basketball game. Okay. We are building temples. And I do believe, and you may agree or disagree, that we are somewhat lazy in our construction. But let's finish this passage. Again, Zechariah, God told Zechariah to tell the people, return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. That means repent. Return to the Lord. And the Lord will return to you. Now, this call to repentance went out to the ancestors of Zechariah and the people here. And the prophet states in verse 2, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Now, this sentence is better read straight out of the Hebrew. And I'm not going to read you the Hebrew because I can't. But it says in transliteration, the Lord was angry with anger toward the people. Anger here is both a noun and a verb. You think there's a point in the writer's words here? The Lord God was angry with anger towards his people. Why? Because they had turned away from him. But the ancestors, as we are given here, did not listen. And so our Lord sent them off to Babylon in exile. Can you imagine the Israelites who worked so hard to be and was given so much to be defined as people of the promised land? They were recognized as people of the promised land, and that temple being at the center of their existence. That promised land was heaven to them. And yet here, it is now destroyed. It is gone. And they're taken off to a pagan, barbaric land. Of where we see the ministry of Daniel begin and have its success. But they were sent off to captivity. They were taken out of their land. Their temple was destroyed. And the prophet here is telling them that story to provoke them. Do you not see what God will do? Do you not see what God will do if you are continuing in your disobedience? He doesn't mind taking you out of your comfort due to our disobedience. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10 says it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Reverend Jamie Hunt, a dear man to me, I asked him one time what he was afraid of. He said, oh, I'm afraid that I might see God without Jesus Christ. Because he understood the capacity of a vile creature standing before a holy God without the intercessor in his work. This is what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. It's a dreadful thing, my friend. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Zechariah reminds the people to seriously consider how terrible. You know, see, I think, again, as we were talking this weekend, that the church has been so poorly in its teaching that so many times we've got this idea of God, and you've heard me say this so many times, we've got this picture of God sitting on the front porch with his long gray hair in a rocking chair waiting for the grandkids to come home. For so many, that's God. He's loving and he's good and he's nice and he's just waiting to see us. Folks, God is loving and he is good. He is perfect. He is generous. His gratitude is more than we can ever comprehend with our feeble minds. But please do not ever forget or confuse. God is a wrathful, just, violent God. Read the Old Testament. Oh, well, that was a different dispensation. No. It's the same God. Grace is just holding back that wrath at this point. One day, we will see that. In the words of the writer to the Hebrew, it's a dreadful thing to come into the hands of God. The prophet asks in verse 5, your fathers, where are they? Your ancestors, where are they? And the prophets, even the prophets that I sent you, did they live forever? What God is having the prophet say, look, these people who led you astray, where are they? In Babylon, many of them stayed in Babylon. It's amazing to hear the statistic of how many Israelites actually returned to Israel. It's a very, very small number. They grew comfortable in prison. Think about it. But most of the forefathers died. The prophets all came and spoke God's word, but they died. And so these that we hold so high and mighty that we're supposed to emulate and follow, where are they? They're dead. But then look at verse 6. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants to the servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? What is the ways and means to returning to God? What is the ways and means of repentance? The Word of God. The forever standing, withstanding, long standing, eternal Word of God. Yes, preachers will come and go. Prophets will come and go. The good ones and the false ones. But we all, I do pray, are preaching out of the same word. When I leave here, and the gentleman who follows behind me, just as I did Dr. Earl, preaching from this word, this is the way to return to God. Not the fads, not the next program that comes up, not the next event that, oh boy, this looks good and it'll draw the people in. Well, yeah, it might for a season. And this is what God is telling the people of Zechariah's hearing. It is the word of God. And see now, if you go back and read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, which are written about this same time frame, Ezra returned from Babylon about the same time. He discovered God's word and he began standing in the marketplace. He began standing in the streets, literally reading the word of God to the people. Ezra 6:14 reads, so the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper. So we've seen a movement from Zechariah's time to Ezra's time, which was a very short time frame. But we see a movement that the elders began to prosper under the preaching of Haggai, the prophet, and under the preaching of Zechariah, a descendant of Edu. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel. And so we can go and read the book of Ezra, which follows Zechariah here, and even verse 6, as I'm about to read, shows that the people repented. But how did they do it? How did they find their way back to God? It is through the Word of God. It is through the Word of God. Reading, following, submitting to the Word of God, encourage these people to continue their task. The reading and teaching of Ezra as he would stand in the streets would inspire the people to return to God. I pray with all of my heart that whatever preacher, if it's me, Dr. Earl, David, or Justin, whoever stands in this pulpit, reads and preaches directly from the Word of God, because it is the Holy Spirit working through His Word that changes people. I don't. I can't. And you say, well, Pastor Tim, how come our church is not packed? How come the crowds are just not overwhelming? How come it's not Easter every Sunday? I wish it were. But God's Word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will draw His people when and to where the Holy Spirit determines. And right now it's us. Right now it's us. Just like the Word of God was a strength to these people. Verse 6. But my words and my statutes which I commanded my servant the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they repented. The people of Zechariah's time repented. And they said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, meaning they understood the justice of God in dealing with the people the way he did. But now let him deal with us the same way, if he so decrees. Meaning they come to understand the justice and discipline of God. The word of God is our strength. Turn with me to Psalm 119 if you have your Bibles. Psalm 119, the entire psalm, the longest psalm in the book, is all given to the statutes, the precepts, the teaching, the law, the word of God. The first 8 verses of Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. A lazy person would not say that. A person of a slothful, apathetic, uncaring nature would not have those words come from their lips. But a man or woman who is desiring to follow the word of God could say those words just as easily, coming from the heart, that I will follow your ways. I will give myself to your testimonies, to your law. Let me be blameless in the way that I diligently, did you hear the word diligently, be given to the word of God. That's revival. That's repentance. That's what we have been given. As I said, our Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Zechariah is following the same model here, which is prophesying the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and that kingdom. But here in his first verses, he's saying, repent. Repent. And then the remainder of the 13 and a half chapters remaining are all prophesying the coming kingdom of God, of which Jesus Christ brought. You'll say, well, Pastor Tim, this book's a little outdated for us. He was preaching the coming kingdom of God, and here Jesus Christ came, and he said, okay, the kingdom's here. So isn't this out of place? Isn't the kingdom already here? Yes, it is. Because we live in the now, but not yet. We live in the now of the kingdom of God. But we live also in the not yet, because we're waiting for what? The second coming. And at the second coming, then that kingdom will be complete in its fullness and in its glory. So should the message be any different to us? Not at all. Not at all. We are the Israelites. If you read Paul's writings, the Israelites, the civic national Israelites, are no longer the church. It's the people of God who are the church. I hope there are no Jewish descendants in the room. But I am more Jewish than they are, spiritually. They'd look at me and go, no, not really, Tim, you ain't. But I pray, are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ and his second coming. The message of repentance, return to the Lord, and he will return to you, is just as valid, if not more so, to us than it was to the Israelites of this day. We know an incredibly more about God today than they knew that day. Our excuses are even less. But yet, oh, do we find them. Oh, I can't do that. I can't be there. Well, as long as I'm in church every once in a while, that's good. Well, God would understand. He knows my situation. I mean, there are excuses galore that does nothing but define our slothful, lazy, and ungrateful attitude toward what God has given us and called us to. And folks, again, this is one of those sermons I wish there was a mirror right there. The great John Calvin writes, "It ought to, however, be observed that our prophet not only speaks of repentance, but shows also its true character, that the Jews might not carelessly seek to please God, as is commonly the case, but that they might sincerely repent. For he says, 'Return to me, and I will return to you.'" Do you hear the promise? It's very similar to the promise Jesus Christ gave after the Great Commission. "And I will be with you always." God, through Zechariah here, is saying, "Return to me, and I will return to you." Folks, that's revival. That's what we've been praying for 2 years. This is reviving a church. This is reviving a people through the preaching, through the Word of God. Return. Return. And then hear the promise. "I will be with you always." Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I do fall before you and confess the sinfulness of life and ways, our slothfulness, our lazy nature. But, O Lord, through the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, inspire, encourage. Let the Word of God bring the people together as it did with Ezra preaching. And let us see our sin and its incredible assault and travesty against a holy and righteous God. Let us hear the words of Zechariah the prophet. Return, return, return. In Jesus' holy name, amen.